Welcome to the third episode of Your Time in the Run, the Hunted Series 7 podcast from Reality TV Warriors. My name's Michael Harmstone, and joining me as always are my fellow Brit, who is just waiting for the day when his pass catches up with him, Anthony Williams.
Hello.
And the lady who is always in danger of giving fugitives far too much credit, Michelle Piss-Denneman.
Yes. But no. Some of them, no. Definitely no.
I thought for so much of this episode that Beth was going to get away with it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I am loving the way they're editing this series because they are throwing me off the scent so many times, and it's brilliant. I love it.
I mean, I even had it written down when we got to the Dr. Donna section, and I'm not sure where Michelle's loyalty would have lay with that conversation, whether it was Dr. Donna or with Beth, but I was just like, yeah, she probably is going to get away from this because they are so underestimating her, and then it's like, nope, she's the capture. That's a shame.
Well, when we get up to that point, I will tell you who I agreed with.
I'm going to guess it was, for once, Dr. Donna. You had good weeks?
Yeah, very good, mate. Very good. You?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, I don't think we've actually discussed this, but I technically start a new job today, even though it's a new old job. Various shenanigans have happened at work, and my team's moving to the other side of the wide seam. But something that I know is going to amuse the guys on the Belkia podcast, which is why I'm going to mention it to both of you sets, is the fact that I was out at my garage on Wednesday and my postman came up and gave me a package. I'm like, I'm not expecting anything. It's like 3 days since my birthday now. Nobody should be sending me anything. And I opened it up and it was a mug from my old, what is now my old team. And it was like one of those parody word definition mugs. And it was like Quizmaster, Podcaster. And then the third point, read like a eulogy. It was like, loved and missed by his old team. And I'm like, I'm not dead. I'm very much still alive.
Cute.
You're just dead to them, Michael, now.
Yeah. So I was reading it like, this is really sweet. I wasn't expecting it. But also, does read like I have died. Not entirely appropriate for a work gift.
That's so funny.
But the other sort of terrifying part of it was the fact that they remembered that I do a podcast, which I never talk about at work deliberately because of, you know, the slightly inappropriate jokes that I occasionally make. Not necessarily on this podcast, definitely on Belgian Malt last week.
Yeah, someone at my work said to me last week, can I get the link to your podcast? I'm like, which one should I give? None of the early Amazing Race ones with Logan and Michael.
Hunted, we're usually not too bad with.
Yeah.
Then Hunted's usually fairly tame. There's the occasional swear, but not too much. Whereas if you gave them the Belgian Bowl one from last week, there was a lot of testicle jokes. Entirely in context, but there was a lot of testicle jokes.
Really?
Yeah. There's a guy who on the show who had testicular cancer, and he talked about it a lot. And he also mentioned at one point that if you have one of your testicles removed, the other one grows to compensate. So what? I never knew this.
It's true.
No.
It was actually quite interesting. Apparently it's true.
It's not like a crab claw.
Like a crab claw. But apparently it gets larger because it's the only place where the testosterone's going now.
Okay.
But the first challenge was a swimming and diving challenge, and we did joke that he had the unfortunate disadvantage of an extra flotation device or a large flotation device. Wow. That sort of stuff. It's all playful things.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this one's usually fine, I would say.
That's bizarre. Okay. Something I've learned today, which I cannot really share with anybody.
I never knew it either. It was actually quite interesting. It was one of those things where you go, really? Is that true? And yeah, apparently it is.
Okay.
How's your week been anyway, Michelle?
Fine. Nice 4-day week is always good. At a school, I have parent-teacher meetings this week, though, which are always a joy.
You went to an Easter fair, I spotted.
Oh, yes, the major Sydney one, the biggest one, I think, in the Southern Hemisphere. Yeah, I had 2 cheese on a sticks. My children had a chips on a stick. We also had fish and chips. We also had fruit covered in sugar. We had donuts. We had a lot of junk. It was a good day.
It must be like Christmas for your children being let out of the oubliette.
I can't even fit a ride down there.
I know you got to keep up appearances and actually let them show the face occasionally, Michelle.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Them as well.
Yeah, I have to feed them.
Be on your best behaviour, you little shits.
I love how you sound like a Cockney when you say that.
So anyway, hunted.
Yeah.
Previously, Jack and Alex were tracked down by the hunters, and Georgina left a tracker in Alex's bed to catch him in the act as they closed in. However, he narrowly escaped by switching bags, but in the process lost track of Jack, and they split up. Jackson and Nicola had a family reunion as their dad surprised them by taking them to Cardiff. Kathy and Anna had chilled out by Tower Bridge, but it was Beth and Steve who got in most hot water, as Beth's idea of a spa day saw her dad's time on the run end, and her be left all alone for the remaining days of the hunt.
Yep.
And we return back to Steve's capture, and Jordan and James looking for Beth. She's round the corner in Lulu's car, and HQ gets CCTV of her leaving the Hilton 30 seconds before Steve.
Which does beg the question, why did James not see her? Because there clearly was not a bus in the way. What was he doing?
Well, I think the CCTV angle was actually from Jordan's side rather than James's side.
Yeah, but there's no bus anywhere. It wasn't a bus when it showed the over-the-shoulder of her getting out last week, to be fair. So, you dropped the ball, James. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You better make up for it by getting a capture in this episode, or we're just going to fall out.
I will also say, they were not just around the corner in Lulu's car. It is quite far away, as we find out later in the episode. I know exactly where Lulu's car was.
So, how far away were they?
Quarter of a mile, probably.
Okay.
Because where Lulu's car was, I think, is very close to where my work office used to be. The work office that I've talked about, where I was around the corner from the departure point of Series 3. I'm pretty sure it's just down the next road from there. It certainly looked like it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's nowhere near the Hilton there anyway.
I can't believe they went to the Hilton. Like, oh my God. I still can't get over it.
Well, the point I did think you were going to make is you can't even believe that her sunglasses were branded.
Of course they were.
Couldn't tell what brand they were, but they were branded.
Yeah, they had like a logo on the lens, didn't they?
Yep.
Gosh.
And another hunter car drives past Lulu's car, and HQ get the CCTV of Lulu's car, and it goes on ANPR. And Lisa is pissed off that they are wasting their time on Beth.
Yeah, and at this point, I'm like, oh, this is good. Showing that the hunters are getting angry, they're going to miss her. This is just setting us up for she's going to go off the radar now.
Well, that's what I thought, because the first two-thirds of this episode were basically just, yeah, Beth's definitely going to be winning now. Mm. Beth is doing everything for Steve, and it's going to be one of those redemption arcs, and she's going to win, and then by the end of the episode, it's like, nope, she go. That's a shame. So the 9 remaining fugitives are all over the length and breadth of the UK, and this time it's actually true when he says that. No one's further north than Beth, but I'll actually accept it because we have Jackson and Nicola in Wales, we have Sade and Cameron still inexplicably in Nottingham. They don't seem to have moved.
Think they were just slightly further north, so I think they're sort of Derbyshire peaks, but not far, not much further north than Nottingham.
Yeah, they really haven't moved, and I think Kathy and Anadu were still on the map, at least in London.
Yeah.
That's
maybe
crazy.
This is a new strategy. Just hang around the same place and see what happens.
Well, it is interesting because we know that the rule has always been you've got to move 5 miles every 48 hours.
But you could move 5 miles in London easily.
Yeah, that's what I mean. In a big city, London, Manchester, Birmingham, at least, you could probably move 5 miles and not leave the city, technically.
Mm.
It's an interesting tactic that no one's really done, is sort of doing the minimalist movement rather than just doing a wild swing.
Yeah, if you can find yourself somewhere where there's not a lot of coverage, then it's probably moving between locations where you're going to give yourself away. So if you can find little places where you can kind of hang out safely, which appears to be what Sade and Cameron have done, because we ain't seen an awful lot of them yet.
So Lisa starts with Sade and Cameron. They have very little on them and are a very strong team. And they need to crack the network. And as you said, they are in the Peak District doing sleeping bag races.
Yeah, they're having a fun time, and that's something we've seen before.
Yep. HQ are running around like headless chickens trying to find them, and they're chilling, playing Snake on a very old Nokia 3210.
Crazy.
Snakes on a Phone, the disappointing sequel.
I will also say, a phrase that I like, Snake passed me by, it very much didn't. It was my first film.
I mean, to be fair, if they've had that 3310 since new, it's probably due for recharging.
Maybe by the end of the hunt.
Yeah.
Kathy and Anadir are next. They are physically mid-50s and in their heads they're giggly schoolgirls, and their juvenile attitude will help HQ, apparently. I mean, I'm not sure it will.
I don't know what's happening with these, but they are providing some lovely comic scenes. That shot when it just flipped back to where she's got the horse's head on. It was
It was so good.
Yeah, spoilers, that's our banner, obviously.
Of course. The moment I saw that, I was like, oh, there's the banner.
Yeah, I don't like giving people back-to-back banners, but I really couldn't resist making it the banner again this week.
Yeah, they were on for all of, like, what, 30 seconds, and there's the banner.
100%. And in fact, it was quite difficult to find because I couldn't remember exactly where in the episode it was. I was trying to find it last night.
Really? Right at the beginning.
Yeah, I know it was right at the beginning. I know roughly where the timestamp was. I was just flicking through the episode again, being like, I can't actually see them because they weren't on screen that long.
I can't believe they had scarves on their head. That was more like, where'd they get the scarves from? Because it's scarves like that you don't generally just have, oh, let's take them away on the run with us.
Oh, they would.
I'm assuming they got them from the same person who, you know, lent them the open-top Mini
that they were driving. Yes.
So they're near Brighton, being a middle-aged Thelma and Louise, and Kathy wears a horse's head like she's on De Molbecchia, Sicily. Jackson and Nicola are going to have trouble stepping away from social media as he's documented his transition on social media, and Daisy says that he's going to want to post. And they were last seen at the Malthouse in a black BMW. It was then tracked to South Wales, where they have a huge family support network. And they are camping in rural Wales on day 7. Jackson says he needs the money because he's 10 grand down from chopping his boobs off.
I do really like these guys.
Do you think they're going to make it to the end, though?
I think it's difficult for them. Yeah. I think, given how much we know about them already, I strongly suspect they're the next to get caught.
Normally we'd get into this at the end. I think probably Sade's getting caught next week because it certainly seems like the hunters close in on them. I think then it's going to be some combination of Jack and Jackson and Nicola who get caught around episode 5.
Why do you think Sade? What do you think they're splitting up?
I think they're splitting up, and we also saw a scene in the Next Time trailer of Cameron crying.
Ah, okay. Right.
And we know for certain that the hunters get close to them at some point because at the start of episode 1, we saw the scene of them just strolling through the countryside and hunters driving past them and going, oh, we found them. So right. We know there's going to be some sort of near miss scene, at least, if not someone getting caught. And we also know that Cameron's a former professional sprinter. So if anyone's going to get away from the hunters out of the two of them, it's probably going to be him.
I need to see a chase with him. I just want to see it.
The thing is, I don't think they're going to allow Jordan and James to get anywhere near any fugitives now. They've done 4 captures.
Putting in the hard yards this series, aren't they?
I wish they wore black. I'm not happy with the plain clothes.
Oh, they're back to black by the time they get to Beth. It was only when they were trying to blend in the centre of Manchester that Jordan cracked out the check shirt. So HQ think that Jackson and Nicola are going seeing family, but they're not there really. They go to see Jackson's friend, Steph. They borrow a really cracked phone to ring her and arrange to meet in Port Talbot, and she buys them at McDonald's.
Yeah. It just feels like it's too close. Please, fugitive, just pick random people all the time. It always works out better. You don't need all these acquaintances. Who needs friends?
It does beg the question. We know that they submit a list of people who are willing to have their phones monitored and all that. Was Steph on that list?
Seems likely.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Because Jackson's not seen her in 6 years. And if she wasn't on that list, I'm not sure if it's in the rules that she was able to be contacted in that way.
Interesting. I can't let anything slide, though.
I know you can't. I
can't.
That's sort of what we have you for, Michelle. Steph seems the furthest away for any associate that we've actually had in a while.
Yeah, she's not bad. I just think any connection is a bad connection.
Jackson wants to taunt the hunters by luring them to Barry Island. However, in a very telling scene, Nicola says she feels a bit railroaded by Jackson always making decisions.
Yeah, that wasn't put in by accident, was it?
That definitely made me think that there's going to be either something that Jackson does that's a bit too cocky and gets him caught, or there's going to be something that causes a big fight between them.
Yeah, it's going to cause friction, isn't it, where Jackson's going to suggest something and it's going to turn out to be a bad move, which, to be fair, this was not a great move because they hadn't clocked that they already pretty much know they're in Wales.
Yeah, they hadn't clocked that, you know, they're going to be monitoring anything that their father is driving, for example.
Yes.
So since losing Beth, they've tracked Lulu's car to somewhere between York and Leeds. Best Hunter Doug says all their intelligence says that Steve has led their decisions, so she will fall back on her friends as their only option. And she's in York in yet another beautiful apartment overlooking Clifford's Tower.
Which is like literally 2 minutes from York City Centre. It's a lovely part of town.
It is. As I said last week, York is wasted on Yorkshire. Yeah, I love York as a city.
Beautiful, beautiful city. Yeah, great views. She's got some very, very well-connected friends, hasn't she?
That bathroom was just gorgeous. I thought she was in another hotel.
I did at first, yeah.
Ironically, I have actually stayed in the Hilton in York that overlooks Clifford's Tower, which is not far away from there.
Mm. RTO. Isn't that near where you live anyway?
Probably 100 miles now.
That's another town, okay.
58 miles, it reckons, from Harmstone Heights.
Okay. Why is she seeing a friend, another friend? Like, what is wrong with her? Seriously. Why do they put people on like this? Oh, and then she goes to the hairdresser. What's the actual...
I was going to say, you know, keep your powder dry, Michelle. This is by far not the worst move she makes.
I mean...
Yeah, it was a last-minute decision for her to go and stay at a friend's in York, to be honest.
I mean, to be fair, she's separated from... She clearly has no plan at all.
Yeah.
The fact that she's even thinking about going places is pretty good, I think, at this stage.
But she didn't even keep her hair up. By the end, her hair's back down again. What the hell?
We've not even got to the bit where she has a blow dry yet, Michelle.
I know, but like, I just can't cope. I'm sorry. Okay, let's finish Jackson and the photo then. Let's do that.
Well, let's continue actually in the episode.
Okay.
So she was at boarding school from the age of 12 or 13, and she says that will be beneficial on the run because that's how she learned to use a washing machine.
Yep, that'll come in handy. Really, of all the skills you need on the run. Yep. Being able to use a washing machine, it's saved so many fugitives, Bacon, it really has.
And she was a music scholar, getting to grade 8 in cello, saxophone, piano, and all of the recorders.
All the recorders.
Yeah.
What do you mean, all the recorders? There's only one kind of recorder. Otherwise, you're playing like a piccolo, which there's
more than one recorder. There's a descant recorder.
Descant.
So there's all sorts of recorders.
What the hell? I'm Googling this now. What?
I promise you.
Kinds of recorders. And why would you even say that is something amazing? Like, seriously, just say cello and piano and whatever else.
Grade 8 cello is high level. Grade 8 is like the top tier you can get.
It's no joke. It's a genuine achievement. As much as obviously we're going to tease Beth a little bit in this episode, it's a genuine achievement to get grade 8 in one instrument, never mind at least 3, if not 50,000, depending on how many recorders you can do.
Exactly. So she has a brain. She just doesn't use it. That's the thing. And there are 6 different kinds of recorders. They just go from really high to really low. I'm assuming I could play the third one along or the fourth one along, it looks like, on this list. But basically, you're just blowing into something that's like the recorder looks exactly the same. Maybe the alto one's a bit different on the top. I'm sorry. I've never known there were different kinds of recorders. It's like 6 here. I'm telling you, number 3, 4, and 5 look very much the same.
I love how the two things Michelle's learnt in this episode already are there are six different types of recorders, and you get a massive testicle if you have testicular cancer and have one removed.
This is the most educational podcast we've ever made.
And why has she got a brain for instruments and they're not for real life? Like, oh, what? What?
I mean, the fact that she went to boarding school probably explains why HQ hate her as well, because they do have a hatred for anyone who went to boarding school or public school or anything like that.
Yeah, they're not fans of privilege, are they, HQ?
Not at
all. I did notice that that Jack and Alex's board did at one point just have a massive word privilege.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it was visible in the background in one of the shots in this episode. And she says, when she's stressed, she tidies. The hardest part is the loneliness. And of course, she says this literally 12 hours after her dad has been caught.
I know. I can't cope. Mate, you've not even slept yet.
We don't actually know how far into the hunt this was as well.
By the time she gets caught, it's 2 days since they split up.
Yeah.
I don't know, day six-ish?
Yeah, because there's definitely some monkeying with the timeline in this episode. More than UK Hunted normally does. I wonder if they've got the Australian Hunted editors in. There's definitely a bit of a spread in this episode. Because thinking about it chronologically, if they'd done it like they normally do, and I'm aware that previous series haven't been entirely faithful to the chronology, but they're broadly accurate in terms of the actual order. We would be expecting them to end this episode on about day 10 or 11. I don't think we do.
No, I don't think we do.
So, back in Wales, Jackson and Nicola arrive at Barry Island, and they're going to post a picture on Jackson's social media luring the hunters to the pleasure park.
That sounds very bad. You should not call it a pleasure park. What
it's
is that?
Barry Island.
Yeah, it's Barry Island, Michelle.
I know. Barry Island and Pleasure Park sort of don't go. You know what? They do go together, actually. Go to Barry.
Yeah. Have you been to the British seaside? There is not a lot of pleasure in the British seaside.
Why is it called Barry Park? Is the place called Barry?
Yeah.
The place is called Barry Island, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's okay.
It's most famous, at least recently, for the sitcom Gavin and Stacey.
Right. We call a place like that a fun park. We definitely don't call it a pleasure park. A pleasure park here would be something frequented by adults and adults only.
Lonely businessmen.
I'm not saying that doesn't happen in Barry Island either, Michelle. Let's
probably
be honest.
Men call Barry. It out. And lots of Barrys would go there.
Lucky yes. Barry.
By the way, I've been researching recorders. There's eight.
Over to our recorder correspondent.
There's eight kind of recorders. The top two recorders actually have this mouthpiece, which is really weird. It looks like one of these, like where you smoke things in like Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
it looks like one of those pipes.
Pipe. Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
You know, my favorite thing about this recorder tangent is the fact that I did say I was going to have to cut the testicle chat, and I'm not sure I can now because it's just too fun. I might have to edit around it.
I'm so hot now. I need the aircon on in my room. Sorry.
I like Delirious Michelle. It's fun.
Okay, continue.
So Doug spots Jackson's Instagram post, and he reads out the caption, including a swear. I don't think we've ever heard Doug swear in seven series.
No. I mean, it affected him so badly he lost the ability to type. Why did they keep that in? Why did they not just get an intern to do the typing later and just insert the shot? It's like type, backspace, type, backspace. What?
I was watching it and just went, Doug just did a swear. That breaks the natural word order. Doug's not allowed to swear. So they say they don't know where the picture was taken, but Doug quickly finds it on a private browsing window and identifies Barry Island.
And that, to me, was a bit odd. Like, they know they're in Wales.
Mm.
They're in Wales at a fairground. I think it'll be Barry Island then. It's not like Wales is famous for having thousands of theme parks around.
In Doug's defence, it could have been a pop-up fun fair. They could have just been taking over a random country park or something.
It could, but I would... Well, I don't know. You can't put yourself in someone else's head. But if someone showed me a picture of someone said, these guys are in Wales at a fun fair, I'd go, oh, Barry Island by any chance?
There is something slightly depressing about an almost COVID-era fun fair.
Yeah, it did look a little bit grim.
Especially in the middle of summer, which this was. This was about June, I think.
Yeah.
Do you think Jackson had to send the photo from the fun park, or do you think he was just being stupid?
I think he was being stupid.
Oh, good. I was thinking, gosh, if the hunters make them send the photo from where they took it, that would be pretty bad.
Having said that, it wouldn't have helped much if he hadn't sent it from the pleasure park, because they still have access to Jackson's Instagram, as far as we're aware. They would have seen where the login came from, and it would have had a geotag on it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So right. Actually, in a lot of ways, it's better to send it from the pleasure park, because that's the one place where they know they're going to be, rather than send it from Steph's house or whatever, and then the hunters get the pleasure park and Steph's house, and then they'll put Steph on monitoring and all that. Not defending the move in the slightest, but actually from a logic point of view, I can see the logic of not doing it from Steph's house.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jackson's thought about geolocations and IP addresses and stuff and thought, well, if we're going to do it, we might as well do it live where we are.
Also, I'm quite surprised they did search it in a private window rather than, you know, looking at the metadata of the photo that they inevitably would have had.
Yes, yes, there is that.
And Lisa says sometimes they give fugitives too much praise, but it always comes back to them being thick as shit.
Lisa's on form in this episode.
And then she also said they're making us look like donuts. I've never personally heard that phrase before. Donuts. Okay.
There's a brilliant Michael McIntyre routine about it. In British, you can just put any word in a sentence like that and it will just work. It's the same when you get drunk. You can just... I got absolutely trousered last night. It just works. It just works. So making us look like donuts. Yeah, it's not a common phrase, but it works.
God, I love Michael McIntyre. He's so good.
I know we talked a couple of weeks ago about whether they're softening Lisa's edit. They are definitely softening Lisa's edit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, by the time that Beth gets captured... Last series, she would have eviscerated Beth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This series, she's actually quite nice to her.
Yeah.
She's actually quite pleasant.
Maybe they're telling her what to say.
I like
or
it.
What not to say.
Yeah, not necessarily what to say. Yeah, what not just, to say. I think she probably had a don't be a dickhead chat after the last series. Being perfectly honest. And I know, I'm trying not to swear too much knowing that your colleagues will potentially listen to this. But I think she probably had one of those chats like, yeah, I know we're trying to be nice to you, but also you do need to make it easier for us. So Jackson and Nicola log out, and Georgina and Zoe pull up at the park, and they are absolutely not there at the same time.
No. I don't know how close they are. I love that there was a shot of a black Land Rover. I mean, it's, yeah, the only black Land Rovers in this whole country belong to hunters.
Georgina finds the photo spot, but no one's seen them. Steph acts as a getaway driver, and they spot the hunter car in the car park. And Lisa does say that they're making HQ look like absolute donuts. HQ are also still unaware of Jack and Alex's split. They were very close, and it all went to rat shit. Another great term. In Alex's bag was an Ordnance Survey map of Newmarket, so it might be the location that they go to.
The Alex scene perplexed me. It's like the minute silence thing. I'm just thinking, like, have they just not got anything interesting with Alex?
As you said before with your story, Michael, he's not dead. He doesn't even know for certain whether he's been caught. What?
The other bit of this as well is that Alex's stuff, especially, but I think Jack's as well, was very early in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
They let it slip that Alex is only on about day 2 or 3 in this scene.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a quote from the voiceover guy. Yes, Alex is in Essex and does a minute silence in Jack's honour. And then the voiceover guy says that it's only day three.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the first time in a long while they've actually specifically pointed out that they are flipping back and forth in the timeline here.
Oh, totally.
Having said that, I think Alex is probably the more likely of the two of them to make it to the end at this point.
Yeah, and that's what I mean about there doesn't appear to be much going on. And usually, if we see people pop up for no good reason, it's just to remind us they're still around and they're probably going to continue to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he just goes to ground. There's not a lot to talk about.
Well, he also has the advantage of having no sense of direction, which normally is a terrible thing. But actually in Hunted, if you don't know where you are, the hunters probably don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to screw him when he tries to get to the extraction point. But at this point, if he just kind of wanders through the field in a Nick way, he's probably going to win.
Yeah, and that's all we're seeing. Just wandering around aimlessly, which, you know, sounds good to me. I think he might do quite well here.
He says, without Jack, he doesn't just miss all the emotions. He misses the teamwork that they thought would make them an incredible team. Jack is 10 miles away in Cambridgeshire. He misses the company, but he also says it's one less person to share the prize pot with in a really badly edited Franken edit.
Yes.
Why would he say that?
It's really terrible, the edit on it.
But that's... Does he mean that if he wins, he's not sharing it? Because everyone else, if one of the team gets through, then they share the winnings.
Well, yeah. But that must be from a different conversation where Jack finds out that someone else has been caught or something and goes, oh, it's one less person to share the money with. Because the edit on it is terrible.
Yeah, it's definitely not continuous. I don't know. And so why have they put it in? Must mean something.
It's interesting. Jack must find out that someone else gets caught, I think.
But then why put it in? But why
exactly,
put it in?
Yeah. It must be relevant to the story in some way.
Mm.
The only thing I can think of is that it might be setting up Jack getting caught and making Alex look like the good guy of the pair of them.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, he could be talking about his own capture. He could be saying, you know, I've got caught, but for Alex, that's one less person to share the money. I don't know. Yeah.
It's something to keep an eye on, definitely, that. And in Alex's last bit of the episode, he says he doesn't mind camping, but putting up a tent is not his favourite thing to do. It was Jack's job.
Yeah. And I am on board with the theory that Alex might be the one that makes it.
I think if I had to put money on it at the moment, I would say Alex is probably going to make it. Jack maybe not. And I think if it's not a solo win for Alex, it's probably going to be Kathy and Anada or Cameron at this point. I could definitely see it being a four-person win and it being Kathy and Anada and Alex and Cameron at this point. But, I mean, I thought Beth was going to win, so who knows at this point.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I like being misled in this case.
Love it.
Even during the same episode.
Yeah.
So Jack is on a canal boat on his way to Newmarket, where he's hoping to make contact with a friend from boarding school, Thady.
I'm so glad I got the copies and had subs on, because I had to go back and go, sorry, what part, what name is that? Is it Sadie with a lisp? What is going on? Because at that point, we didn't even know what gender this person was. I was like, what the hell name was that?
Yes.
I'm going to skip ahead in my notes slightly. Thady is a big deal.
Yes.
If you search the name Thady on Google, he comes up.
I'm going to guess he's the most famous Thady on the planet.
Yeah.
Is he the only Thady on the planet? And what was wrong with his parents to name him that?
Apparently it's a shortened version of Thaddeus.
Oh, of course.
But yeah, if you search the name Thady, it is an actual name as well. I can't remember.
Is it a Y or an IE?
Why? It's from Aramaic.
Yeah, it means heart.
But yeah, if you search Thady, it does come up to tell you that it's Aramaic. But it also comes up with, did you mean Thady, this horse trainer?
Yeah, Thady Gasden, British horse trainer.
He also has a Wikipedia page and has trained 300 cup winners.
Wow.
What's his surname?
Gosden, I think it was.
Oh, Thady Gosden.
G-O-S-D-E-N.
Yeah, I've just found him.
Well, and you know, I'm not looking into his backstory, but I'm guessing, you know, he's overcome a tough upbringing on a council estate to do that.
Oh, definitely. He grew up on the mean streets of Berkshire. Yeah.
He hasn't won the Melbourne Cup.
That's all Michelle cares about. He's not won the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, no. He hasn't. I mean,
he's won 300 other ones, but not the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, but not the Melbourne Cup. Correct.
I mean, he needs to get some priorities.
Totally.
And before anyone writes in, I do know that Newmarket's in Suffolk.
How old is he? He looks young.
What, 28?
Yeah. Yep. Actually, his birthday's next year, 30th, so 29.
Yeah. It's his birthday in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, it is. Why do we
happy
know
birthday, Thady.
Happy birthday, Thady.
Yeah, we know this because it's on his Wikipedia page.
Yes, I'm on it. This is after the recorder page. I did not go to the first page. I wasn't going to go to the first page. I don't want to see the first page.
Testicles, recorders, and horse trainers. Oh, my. So then we get, I'm sure, Michelle's favourite scene in Hunted history, Dr. Donna analysing Beth's profile to predict her behaviour without Steve.
And, shock horror, I agreed with her.
I sort of guessed as much.
Oh, God, I wrote it in caps with exclamation marks.
Given the level of fire and fury that you've shown towards Beth this series and towards Lisa last series, I'd sort of assumed you'd cooled on Dr. Donna slightly.
No, she actually made sense.
And at this point, I was still on board with, oh, Beth's probably going to make it. So I've put in my notes, the moment we see Beth roughing it, she's making it to the end. Her dad will be so proud.
Well, yeah, the end of this section is Dr. Donna expects it to be her downfall. It will not. And it was in the end.
Yeah. I know. You can't do this to us.
You can't lie to me. Apparently, Beth is very dependent and not willing to rough it. She comes from a world of ponies and pandering, and her background makes her the poorest fugitive imaginable. And Dr. Donna expects it to be her downfall.
How much does she get done on her body every week or a couple of weeks? Do you know how much that would cost? That's insane.
It's only a light bit of cryotherapy and ice baths and her eyebrows and her nails and her hair.
It's actually insane the amount of money she's wasting. It's insane.
I don't know how these people have time.
Yeah, I must admit, when she started going through her beauty regime and it not being over the top in any way, shape or form, I thought, yeah, Michelle's going to have a good, like, prepared 50-minute rant on this tomorrow, I suspect.
Oh, gosh. It's a lot. It's just a lot. Like, why? Oh, get a goal. Get a passion.
In fact, that note goes as follows in my notes. She wouldn't say her beauty regime is excessive. Something tells me Michelle would. And she wakes up in a better mood and wants to do it for her dad. You have to be a boss bitch in this situation.
Yep, I have nothing to say about that.
I'll also say, boss bitch is one of my least favourite phrases in the world. Because as we found out on hit Australian show Maths, if you claim you're a boss bitch, you're absolutely not.
It's the first rule of reality TV, isn't it? Anything you say, the opposite is going to be true.
Yeah.
Just spend the whole time saying, I'm feeling very vulnerable, very lonely. I don't think I'll make it to the end. You've nailed it.
You've won.
Works in Hunted, works in Survivor, works on The Amazing Race. Just
Traitors. Just
tell everybody you're terrible and there's no way you're possibly going to win. That's the way through.
And Beth decides to get a blow dry and thinks it will be a disguise to have pinned up curly hair and not straight hair anymore.
Oh, yeah, I mean, what a genius.
Can't tell who she is.
And I'm sure that was the motivation for getting the hair done. It's not for me. I need it for my look. I need to go on the run, get my hair done.
Yeah, the worst thing here is it's only the second worst disguise we've seen on this series already. Because I don't think anything this series is going to top hazmat suits but massive butterfly tattoo for Jackson.
You know what? Around that hairdresser thing, I've got Beth and hairdresser. I've got what? Question mark. With what? Question mark. Rang her friend. Why? Date of birth is her passcode. Like, literally, it was just one thing after another. I'm like, why?
It is slightly mortifying for everyone involved that Beth beats them, I think.
Yeah.
like the three people who got the at least three people who got caught before Beth did, you probably have to be disappointed in your performance. Like, as much as I want to sit here and defend Beth and hear Michelle scream at me, I'm not sure I can defend Beth doing the blow dry or going to Known Associates constantly or going to a Hilton or, you know, having her passcode be her birthday.
Or leaving Find My enabled on your iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things.
Or, you know, having an iPhone, because that's a foolish thing in the first place.
Yes. Why did she have her iPhone?
No, the Hunters have got her iPhone.
Yeah, the Hunters. Oh, yes. The Hunter sees all the tech.
Sorry. Yes. And yeah. And sees where her friend is. Yeah, that's it.
It took Doug 7 days to work out that her birth date was her passcode. Don't write it, Doug. I'm being sarcastic.
You're going to get slammed by Doug now.
Oh, Doug gets loads of compliments at the end of the episode. Don't worry about that. So Jack arrives in Newmarket after a 15-mile walk, and less than a mile away, Georgina and Zoe interrogate Thady at his apartment at Newmarket Training Centre. And Thady, being one of the best friends and family that we've seen for a long while, just completely stonewalls them and doesn't give them anything, apart from the fact that he would help, and he will help if they reach out.
We like Thady. He's good.
I do feel like you two have a lisp.
It does sound like it.
This isn't an Alyssa situation. Don't worry. Jack arrives at Thady's and knocks on the door. The Hunters have literally just left, but Jack still, you know, comes in for a drink, because that's a sensible thing.
I love that they always use phrases like, literally just left. Yeah, nice and vague. Literally this week?
Given that Thady was wearing the same clothes, I think it was at least same day.
It was same day, I think, but just left is quite a loose term, I would strongly suspect.
Yeah. Georgina and Zoe say that they got nothing off Thady, but he's definitely someone who would help Jack and Alex, and he's definitely their sort of person. And Lisa puts his number on his set and everything around Newmarket on monitoring.
Why didn't they leave a bug?
Probably because Thady would have had to give permission for that.
Yeah, but he would have done. Of course he would have done. Disappointing.
Jack is genuinely terrified and goes for a walk. He doesn't feel safe and keeps moving. His biggest weakness is he's always someone who's kind of got away with it, and he's waiting for the day something catches up with him as he feels bulletproof.
Yeah, that's good content. That definitely tells us he's going to win, right?
Yeah. I think it's incredibly likely at this point that Jack gets caught and Alex doesn't.
I think it's highly likely he gets caught not long after he gets off the plane.
I'm not sure. Depends where they land.
Yeah, if they can get there.
Because if I was going to be organising a private plane somewhere, I would probably do it to the Scottish Islands.
Are they allowed to go to Scotland?
Yes.
Yeah, Scotland's fine.
Oh, Scotland's the definitely traditional place that everyone goes to get lost. But if you think about it, he comes from money. Thady definitely comes from money. He's going to have contacts probably with a castle somewhere in the Scottish Highlands or something, or people who can help him. The Hunters are very unlikely to have placed anyone in Scotland because nobody's been to Scotland yet. If he's sensible, that's where you would go.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know whether he would, but that's certainly where I would think. That's where I want to aim. Because if you land in the middle of nowhere, the Hunters are not going to be able to catch you quickly.
Yeah.
You'll have the chance to go to ground properly.
But what we don't know, because we've only got mentions of flight tracker, we don't know whether Johnny submitted a flight plan.
Don't you have to?
I think it's only over a certain size.
Yeah, there's
oh, really?
Even if it's a spontaneous thing, if you're going to get in a private plane, you think about what the rules are going to be about reporting, I think, before you do it. Because otherwise it's just a giant beacon saying, here I am.
Mm.
The Hunters have used it to find the extraction plane before. But I think it's if it goes over a certain altitude or if it's a certain size or something. Whereas that looked like a much smaller plane than they use for the private planes when they do extractions.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the loophole that means they don't have to submit a flight manifest.
But they've still got the tracker anyway.
So yeah, they've still got the tracker.
They will figure out where it's going at some point.
They've still got the tracker, but the plane is moving much faster than the Hunters can. If he lands somewhere where there's no Hunters nearby, the Hunters are not going to catch him.
Yeah.
So Thady invites Jack to his friend's barbecue, and they'll never find him there. He has a really merry time. He's gone from super anxious, super worried to having one of the best days ever. And he plans to leave Newmarket the next morning. And it does also explain the scene that we see of him wearing a birthday hat in the intro from episode one.
Yep. And I think, and I could be wrong, but I think we've now seen all of his preview scenes.
Oh. Not 100%, but I think you're right. Having said that, we didn't see many preview scenes of many people.
No, I know, but you know, it's always a good sign. If we know there's a shot that hasn't aired yet, we know they're going to carry on. But yeah. I think we've pretty much done with Jack now.
Yeah. I think there is going to be one of the next two episodes that is an absolute bloodbath episode. Probably three captures at least.
Yeah, it feels like they're setting that up, doesn't it?
Because we're halfway into the series. We've had four captures, technically three capture scenes, but four captures so far, yeah. And eight people still left on the run.
I know.
Either loads of people are making it to the end, or there's going to be a bloodbath episode coming.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine if they had eight at the end? It's too many.
Yeah, exactly. They'd have to reconsider what the extraction vehicle will be.
Yeah.
But they're obviously doing it in a deliberate pace because obviously the first capture, Christine and Munya, was very early on. It was like day two, I think. Mm. Steve, I think, was probably about day four, maybe. Beth was about day six or seven. So they're obviously spreading it out and keeping the captures separate in each episode, which suggests that the next capture is not going to come until maybe about day 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jack does get away in that case, given that, assuming that he's on the same pace as Alex, which I think is a fair assumption to make, he's probably only on about day four or five here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you might be right.
So Doug's in Beth's phone. She uses her date of birth as a password and investigates her contacts. Everyone on her list is around Essex, apart from Freya, who's in York, and Lisa puts Freya on intercept and all of the Essex friends on monitoring. Beth has reached out to her friend Willie in York. She's hoping he can take her to Freya, who she met at boarding school. And she rings Freya off Willie's phone at 10:06 a.m. and tells her they're about 40 minutes away. HQ, of course, get a recording of the call.
Of course. And she knows this is going to happen.
Yeah.
She's like, maybe it's too obvious that I've only got one friend in the north. Yeah, maybe you're right, Beth.
Maybe you shouldn't be contacting friends. Again.
Maybe you should think. Just think. Before you do things. Simple.
And James and Jordan are 9.3 miles away in Santa Freya's. And HQ use Beth's phone to do Find My Friend on Freya, which is a very hard sentence to say. Freya drives Beth away. Lisa asks no one but Doug to speak, as we always do. And she drives past James and Jordan. Dr. Steve Hersey says it's almost too easy. It's not like ANPR is live tracking every second. James and Jordan spot the car ahead, and they pull alongside, and Freya burns them off at the lights. They then pull over, Beth makes a run for it, and her time at the ready is obviously over.
Why? Why get even out of the car? Just try your luck at trying to drive away.
I know, just say, pull over, Freya, it's done.
All I have to say on this is at least she looked good doing it.
Yeah, it was fun.
At least she had her blow dry and her hair looked good doing it.
Yeah. Stop. Just stop. 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 Stop.
And Lisa is surprisingly nice to her. They have definitely softened her edit.
Mm-hmm.
One question I do have off this. Where did her Louis Vuitton bag go? Because we didn't see it all episode.
I know. I was worried about little Louis.
I think it's been left somewhere safe. Somewhere safe, but left.
It's probably gone in for maintenance work.
Yeah, it's gone in and out of blow dry.
Louis pedicure on a Tuesday.
Yeah. And Thady arranges Jack's next move, which is flying him on a private plane far away with his friend Johnny. They don't have a clue where he is or where he's going, apart from the CCTV camera that we see at the airfield.
There's a couple of random shots of CCTV cameras. It's like,
hint. And HQ are unaware that Jack and Alex are split. They are good time boys and they're going to make mistakes. They get CCTV from the race course and see Jack getting on the plane solo. It's showy, annoying, and completely Jack.
Chumba fucking wumba.
And Daisy gets the tail number of the plane and loads it on flight tracker, and it's going north, flying over Hull. Next time, Cameron's card is used in Nottingham, hunters get eyes on, Kathy and Anna address the nuns and embarrass the hunters, and Melv thinks that it's him. I think that Kathy and Anna as nuns scene is just going to be a, yep, here's your 30-second reminder that these two still exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I can't for a moment think why they would be dressed as nuns, apart from it's Kathy and Anna, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just random, totally random.
As much as we were maybe a little bit harsh with them in episode one, I very much like them.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're having such a good time. And that's the way to play this game. Just enjoy it. If you're out for 3 days or 21, just enjoy the time you've got. It's great.
Jack and Alex might be good time boys, but they're good time girls.
Ah, 100%.
Anything else you want to say about this episode?
I thought it was a bit more fun this week. Oh, slightly less stupidity.
Yes. Slightly less.
Who do you think's winning halfway through this series?
You two have talked about it a lot.
Yeah, I talked about my opinions, Michelle, but you haven't.
Yeah, go for it, Michelle. What's your thoughts?
I think Kathy and Anita will either win or get right to the last episode and get caught.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving as much to Jackson and Nicola. I don't even think they'll get to the last episode. I don't know why. Mind you, he's had a good edit because he might get there then, but not her. And Cameron's a runner. He's a runner. Like, if he gets the last episode, he's on. He's on the vehicle.
The thing I'll say about Jackson is he's the only person we have heard a motivation for the money from. Jack and Alex have said they want to win. They don't really care about the money because they're obviously loaded. But Jackson's the only one who's actually given us a specific reason for wanting money at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I really, the whole edit of the whole show is all a bit different this time. And I'm really not sure.
I will also say on the thing that I mentioned about us seeing someone open the briefcase of cash, they did not have tattooed hands. So that is not Jackson.
Ooh.
For certain. If they'd put a scene of someone with tattooed hands opening the briefcase in the intro, I absolutely would have said, yeah, Jackson's winning because I've spotted it.
But even if there's more than one person at extraction, only one person generally opens the briefcase.
Yeah, it doesn't rule Jackson out from winning. It just means that Jackson isn't the one who opens the briefcase.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree. I don't think Jackson and Nicola make it to the end. I think we've heard too much too soon from them.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's an awful lot more story to tell about them, so I don't see them getting to the end. Alex is a bit of an enigma. We're not seeing anything really of substance, but we are seeing him. Kathy and Anita, we just keep getting reminded that they're having a really good time. That's interesting. Yeah. And we know absolutely nothing about Sade and Cameron.
Yeah. I mean, we know for certain. I've not seen the blurb for next week yet. We know we are going to at least see Sade and Cameron next week.
Yep.
But how much story they have is going to be very interesting.
Yeah. I think by this time next week, we will know what's happening with them.
Yeah. My gut instinct for next week's captures is probably Sade, because we see Cameron crying, and that suggests they split up and maybe his mum got caught in front of him or something. And then Jackson, Nicola, and Jack in some combo either next week or the week after.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're probably going to go into the final episode with Alex, Kathy, Nanada, and Cameron still in.
Yeah, all that makes sense to me.
That's my suspicion. But obviously I'm reading the edit like it's the previous six series, and we've not read the edit very well this series. So.
Well done. Well done, editors.
Take it with a Dead Sea worth of salt. Right, we done?
Yep. I think so.
Excellent. In that case, thank you for listening to our Hunted Recap. We'll be back next week for another episode. Don't forget you can contact us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, where we are RTV Warriors, or you can email us and contact at rtvwarriors.com. Anthony's on the artist formerly known as Twitter at Bullsboy. Michelle is Bear333, and I'm MJ Harmstone. We will see you next Tuesday for episode number 4. But with that, for this week, your time in the run is over.
Bye.
Bye.